just advancing the same way as PowerPoint always does, the arrows or whatever.
Perfect. All right, good morning. How's everyone doing? Good, good. All right, so my name is Cammy Moore, and I work with the Alaska Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault, which is our statewide nonprofit dual domestic violence and sexual assault coalition. And all right, so we have no relationships to disclose. So today we're really going to be talking about identifying the strategies for successful multi-sectoral collaborations when implementing a program statewide. And we'll be specifically talking about the evaluation of the 4R curriculum in Alaska. So what the 4R evaluation project is, it was a three-year project that started in 2011, and we just finished up in June 30th of this year. And it was a statewide effort, so we were implementing in schools across the state as well as partnerships within across organizations across the state as well. So the 4R is a ninth grade healthy relationships curriculum. It is evidence-based, and it really focuses on health comprehensively. So it has a unit on personal safety and injury prevention, healthy growth and sexuality, and substance use and abuse, and kind of really focuses on how all of those things and how our relationships intersect with those things. So our partners for this project were really kind of public, private, and nonprofit. And the way that we all work together, I think, is really important, and Wendy will talk a little bit more about how that worked. But it was with the State of Alaska, the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault, the Alaska Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault, where I work, the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development, the State of Alaska Division of Public Health, Section of Women, Children's and Family Health, Strategic Prevention Solutions, so Wendy here, and then the University of Western Ontario, which actually Danair is in the audience. So we had statewide data collection, and Alaska is a really unique place, and if you've ever heard anyone talk about Alaska, they always say that. But just to kind of put it into perspective, we did data collection in these 12 communities. And if you look at the distance between Wrangell and Barrow, that is just over 1,200 miles. So to put that into perspective, from New Orleans, that's like going to New York. Or from L.A., going to Dallas to do data collection. And we did pre, post, and follow-ups. So it's kind of a feat to do data collection, and it's all travel by plane because most of these communities are only accessible by plane and are not on a road system. So it's really interesting to travel and do data collection in Alaska. So why is it so important to collaborate? And it really is necessary to leverage the funding when you're doing a statewide program implementation and evaluation, especially with limited funding. We all know that we're facing funding cuts, so it really is important for the funding aspect. It also allows us to have more rigorous program evaluation, as well as results in a process that benefits all partners within our own program's priorities and funding structures. So when we talk about being a collaborative, oftentimes I think we say, oh, we're collaborating with this organization or we're collaborating with this organization. But true collaboration is happening when it's long-term interaction based on shared mission and goals, and it's shared decision-making as well as shared resources. So oftentimes what we're really seeing is cooperations or coordinations. We're not actually seeing collaboration. So I think it's really important when we're talking about the work that we're doing up in Alaska, that it truly was a collaborative process. We were sharing resources, we were sharing decisions, and we had this shared mission and vision going into the process. All right, so a collaborative partnership is an alliance among people and organizations from multiple sectors, such as schools, businesses, and state agencies working together to achieve a common purpose. So the partnership in Alaska was specifically an alliance among service agencies. And Wendy is going to talk more about what the successful partnerships look like and what we did in Alaska.
Thanks, Kim.
Yep. Okay, so since you're all here so early in the morning, you may be familiar with some of the literature on collaborative partnerships, so we aren't going to go into it too much. But you might be familiar with a review article that was put out in 2000 by Roussos and Fawcett, where they identified some of the main factors that contributed to successful collaborative partnerships, or the ability of collaborative partnerships to affect system change. We're going to talk today about the ones that are in bold, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about the project that we're actually currently engaged in, which is why we're here today to share some of our learnings with you. First, I just want to get it out of the way and say we think the collaborative partnership overall was successful. And the reason is because we were able to end up with 3 years of funding to do a statewide evaluation of, you know, decent complexity because of the geographic challenges, and also just some of the evaluative research design challenges, too, when you have distinct communities and schools within communities. And Danera was wonderful with helping us sort through a lot of the confounding factors and just dealing with it from the data side of things. As some of you know, it can be challenging. Every year, it wasn't guaranteed that we would receive more funding, so it is an accomplishment to have received 3 years of funding. The agencies were able to actually share data, especially process and fidelity data, across agencies so that it met people's needs for use of data. And then folks have been applying for additional collaborative proposals to continue the work forward. And one of the quotes, we have a lot of quotes, I'll tell you a little bit about our process of doing some interviews, but one of our government partners mentioned, our work across agencies on this project led to a broader project than what we started out to do. Prevention is now becoming institutionalized in the state. I wouldn't think about making a decision without reaching out to our partners. And that last part of the quote is what we thought was really important to highlight, that the fact that a government partner literally picks up the phone and says, hey, we might have this funding coming down the pipeline. What do you think, or how can we use this? Let's work together to make this work the best for Alaska and for youth in Alaska. That's pretty darn powerful. So what we're working on right now is going through, I'm going to move this. Might be a little bit of my like OCD coming out or something. It's bugging me. we wanted to really figure out how the collaborative was actually working in a little bit more detail. We have our folks from Canada who are our partners. That, you know, 4THR has been implemented for a while now in Canada. It's a wonderful program. There's an extensive adaptation process that went on for implementing it in Alaska. We've seen resources be leveraged, a lot of work happening in Alaska. We wanted to know how it was. It just seemed different and very successful than a lot of other partnerships that a lot of us had participated in. So we wanted to find out more about that. So we engaged in a process in the last few months of interviewing the partners who were part of the collaborative. We focused on those factors that contributed to successful collaborative partnerships. And we also asked more questions around the relationships between and among partners. We realized that was probably going to be an overarching theme that we needed to explore a little more. We also did a consensus building activity of our team, of our stakeholders, back in a meeting in April 2014. Today we're going to be talking about some of the findings from that in just a few seconds. And we're currently coding that actual interview data to prepare our paper in the next few months. So one of the first factors to successful collaborative partnerships is having a clear vision and mission. And just kind of a main finding that we realized with our collaborative partnership was that it really did truly adhere to some of the principle of this factor, where basically, you know, agency missions can still be different, but the collaborative partnership allows the work to still meet those different needs while still moving towards a shared vision and or goal. And also we wanted to highlight that we had leadership that we saw was very important in maintaining that focus on that shared goal while allowing for diversity of priority, basically, among the partners. So if somebody needed, you know, to use process data for this grant mechanism they needed to report to, that was fine. If somebody needed to use outcome data for this grant mechanism, that was fine. But we were all working together to make sure the entire evaluation project was still carried out in a synthesized, effective way. On the topic of leadership, for each of these, in our consensus building activity, our partners identified challenges and advantages. We're just highlighting a couple of these. I'm going to go through semi-fast because of time, but the handouts are available online, so we still put a lot of these bullet points up there for you. Obviously, having shared leadership, especially across public-private partnerships, can be time-consuming and at times frustrating because you are balancing various agendas and priorities. Sometimes it was a little unclear, like, whose priority maybe should take precedent 1 week versus the next week, depending on a funding cycle or whatever people were dealing with politically. It takes energy to process and respect each other's wants and priorities. And there's also turnover that happens naturally, especially over a multi-year project. And so clarifying who would take on what role as people change in and out of the partnership also can be challenging. But you'll notice that that actually is also one of our advantages up here, that that was something we noticed actually was seemed to be managed pretty well, in that people would literally come in and out of our partnership a few times, and their level of engagement and type of engagement remains consistent and in that kind of collaborative spirit. That's how I'll talk about it for now, I guess. Okay. The factor or idea around technical assistance, we recognize this was already kind of built in because literally our firm was contracted to hold the logistics of pulling together an evaluation team. So we had weekly meetings, sometimes not quite so frequently, but during data collection where we needed to be talking a lot. Okay. That was my job and my staff's job to convene the meetings, take the notes, call people who weren't there, make sure everybody was on track. So that idea that you need a staff person or somebody who actually does the logistics of pulling together the partnership is still very true. We had it happen naturally because we had an evaluation team. And the way that played out for us was with coordination communication that took these kinds of advantages to scale. So we had the conference calls, we actually had pretty honest communication, we built trust over time. And the idea of social capital and relationships became very apparent, and it's important for our partnership. We literally, partners call on each other to call in favors, but also offer up money and funding and other resources that seemed to be helpful to one another. Again, for that common good of making sure the work was relevant and helpful to everyone.
And Wendy, just to add that, I think it's really important that's when our different organizations came in really handy, because sometimes in the state they had a hard time, you know, moving funds and stuff, but they could pass them to us and we could more easily move them as a nonprofit. So it was really important to use the strengths of each organization to move things forward so we didn't get stuck.
Absolutely. So the fact that we were a multi-sectoral partnership really played out in being able to negotiate state politics. Alaska is still a pretty conservative state, and we were trying to do the fourth R, which is an incredibly progressive health curriculum. And so using words like condom, like I was on a conference call once and used the word condom, because that's one of the main findings out of the fourth R is increased condom use out of the Canadian RCTs. And I got in trouble a little bit, but I was also the partner that wasn't. I'm not part of the government, so our government partner could be like, oh, well, that's our contractor, huh? You know. But at the same time, I'm still working with them, and we leveraged that a little bit. We still said it. That was interesting. And this is the point of this slide. You know, our partners kind of used each other a little bit to agitate to get the work done. And so where our government partners' hands were tied, literally, because it was coming from the governor's office, people like me or nonprofit organizations could say the things that our government partners couldn't say, which also helped with resourcing this scale of a project. Obviously, to travel across, the equivalent of a third of the lower 48 states, it took significant resources. And so we saw the Department of Education chip in money so schools would sign MOUs. We saw the governor's office pay for our travel and also their staff time to go out to communities. Gosh, there was just a lot of in-kind contribution as well. And this is just the point I made earlier, that the relationship piece and that built trust and social capital among our partners helped keep the consistency of the successful nature of the relationship of the collaborative partnership going over time. So the person, yes, people are kind of friends at this point. They talk to each other on a semi-regular basis across projects, but they were organized professionally in this partnership. So we literally had people come in and out of the partnership, but they were still held to the same standard of collaboration, which is not always seen in collaboration. Sometimes you get a new person and they're just kind of sitting there and they're not like oriented to what the culture of that collaborative partnership really is. And that was something that did not happen with ours. New people were definitely oriented to what this collaborative partnership was trying to do, what the shared vision was, what the expected engagement was for each partner. So as new people came on, it really was semi-seamless for the rest of us, and it didn't create too much conflict. So that's pretty good, I think, for us. Done.